You're listening to the audio podcast of Calvary Cork, a Christian church that aims to glorify God in our city and far beyond. Join us as we take a closer look at the book of Ephesians and explore how our true identity is found in Jesus Christ.
Okay, so we'll read the passage. This is from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, as we know. We've been working through it for the last long time. And so it goes, this section is, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. So actually, I'm really disappointed this morning because I had this plan. Do you know the way Mike had his little helmet props and Nathan had his little sword? I'd actually managed to track down a friend of mine who had a full... He's in this... If he's listening online, it's Steve... And he had a full suit of Roman armor. And I'm so disappointed. And then I was trying to work out the logistics. Do I wear the armor, the entire suit, for the sermon? Or do I burst through the curtains? Or do I get someone else to come in? But unfortunately, this is way worse than Mike forgetting a third helmet. Like, I've forgotten the entire thing. So, but it might have been a bit crazy anyway. So this passage is, and just to give you a little bit of context as well, just for anyone that might have not be with us so far, this is, as I said, Paul's letter to the Ephesians. At this stage, Paul was sitting in prison in Rome. I think it's around 60 AD. And he's writing this letter to the churches in Ephesus, kind of home churches there in Ephesus, which is modern day Turkey. So this is the background of it. And he's in prison. And actually, just for further context, Paul actually was executed. He was martyred not too long after this, maybe around 5 or 6 years later. So just keep that in mind as well. So this is kind of an interesting little section of scripture. If we go back to it again, it's kind of just tagged on at the end of this the spiritual armor. And for me, I don't know about you guys, but for me, whenever I think about the spiritual armor, I kind of think, oh, the helmet, the sword, the shield, etc. I never really think about this bit at the end. And it's kind of funny that Paul didn't actually give it an analogy, like a spear or, I don't know. But like, if I was to call it something, it's like, this is heavy duty. This is a really key piece of the armor, the actual ability to pray and have direct access to the power of God. So really, we need to think about this as not just a kind of add-on. This doesn't fit in the kind of final greetings, kind of wrap-up part. This is fundamental to the spiritual armor of God. And we need to think about it that way. And I guess the other thing just to keep in the back of our minds as well is Paul starts this whole section talking about, for we do not battle against flesh and blood. And this is why prayer is so important, because it isn't a battle of flesh and blood. Paul talks about that we're in a supernatural world as well as a physical. There's a supernatural as well. And there's powers and demons and a whole angelic world that we can't see. And I think as Christians, I know for me certainly, it's the one thing that's really hard to actually get our heads around is, and it's something we slip so often in our thinking. Do you know the way as a Christian, there's sort of things that you can kind of, you kind of never really forget about your Christian faith. You know, you've Jesus came, I'm going to heaven, you know, the Bible's true. There's these fundamentals. But there is a few other little things that we kind of not totally forget, but don't fully think about the entire time. And I think the fact that we're in a supernatural, or there's a supernatural world, and that there's unseen powers and principalities, let's be honest, it's a bit weird, and we can't see it. And it's very hard for us to get our heads around, and it's something we always forget. But let's not forget that, because that's naive, effectively, and that's kind of what the enemy would like for us to happen. So let's keep that in mind. We are in a world, we've got the physical world, but we've got a supernatural, spiritual, unseen world behind. And this might seem a little bit out there to someone who mightn't be a believer, but guys, look at the world we're in at the moment. You look at the craziness that's going on in the Middle East with ISIS. You look at the recent history of the Nazis. You look at sort of some of the tragedies we see around our own country even now. And you'll talk to anyone, believer or non-believer, and they'll say, man, this isn't just a bad person. There's something beyond this. There's something. This is evil. And I think it's funny when you have those conversations with people. They kind of struggle, and then they finally go, evil. But I don't know how to fit. That doesn't fit in my worldview. But it fits perfectly in the Christian worldview. So prayer, it's so important. So you can see this section's clearly Paul's talking about prayer. And the topic of prayer is a weird one. It's like, at first you're like, oh, prayer, yeah, we all pray. It's fundamental. We're told to pray. We constantly pray as Christians. But I don't know about you, but I love to kind of sit back and go, wait a minute. What is prayer? What are we actually, you know, why, you know? And all these questions come to mind. And like questions pop up. And these are questions a lot of people wrestle with. And things like, well, what is it? And why does God even have it in the first place? And, you know, wait a minute. Why are we in this spiritual battle? Why doesn't he just get rid of all the demons straight away or whatever? And does God need us to pray, or does he act anyway? Wait a minute. Doesn't God know everything? And does praying change it? Does it matter if we say a simple prayer or a long prayer, or can we pray intensely? Or God seems to talk about praying persistently as well. Why didn't he just listen the first time? So these are, I'm just putting these questions because these are the things, this is the way my mind thinks when I really wrestle through these. There's so many questions there and it's impossible to address them all. But that's exactly why we have community groups and Coram Dei groups and that kind of thing. And if we have the scope, perhaps all those questions, a lot of them could be broken down and actually addressed in sermons in the future. And I think Mike has addressed many of these in the past as well. But those questions are important. And actually, if you look at Scripture, you can actually wrestle through all of these questions. There can be addressed, and you can actually find answers to them, and you can start to reconcile it. And I encourage you to do it. I very much... when I was thinking about all these questions during the week, I think sometimes as Christians we can often approach the questions and go, well, no, just do it. But why? No, just do it. But the reality is, like, when we were kids, like, and if someone told you not to do something and then you said why and they said you wouldn't understand, it's very hard to actually follow that through. So I think it is really important that we wrestle through these questions and look at what Scripture has to say about those, about why we pray and what is prayer and how does it work. But let's be honest. I think that really there is some mysteries in God, and there is some things that once we wrestle through that we still can't fully understand. But there are some fundamentals too. And Scripture is very clear, and Jesus himself said it, that we should pray and that we should be praying. And Jesus himself, when he was on earth, prayed persistently and consistently, prayed a lot. And the Bible clearly tells it, all through Scripture, not just old but new. And Paul clearly talks about it, and he's telling us here again. So prayer, let's just park a lot of those questions for a second and just accept that a fundamental pillar is that we have to pray, and that even our own personal testimony, prayer does work. I encourage you to keep a prayer journal, mostly because when you pray for something, usually you forget and then you walk away and then it's answered, and you're not really building up all this encouragement that... So with our community group at the moment, we're really trying to track our prayer requests. And we got a big column called prayer requests, and we got a big column called prayers answered. And as they get answered, we pull them over. And we're not going to let go of this list, and we're going to keep being persistent. That's the hope. So that's the introduction. But there's a lot of topics, a lot of little sort of rabbit holes that we could go down and really interesting stuff we could chew through on prayer. But let's look at the actual little section itself and in the context of the spiritual war. So John Piper says, life is war. That's not all it is, but it is always that. our weakness in prayer is owing largely to our neglect of this truth. Prayer is primarily a wartime walkie-talkie to the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. So John Piper's quote is kind of resyncing our view of prayer. A lot of times we think of prayer as, oh, Father, help me get my job, get my car, you know, help me get my exam results. But let's park that aside for a second as well and think of prayer more in this spiritual battle. We can't defeat spiritual forces with physical means, but we can and should use prayer. So, see how we're doing. Okay, so let's dive into the scripture. And in typical Paul fashion, a lot of these verses are kind of long and a little bit, you have to kind of read them a few times to actually figure them out. I know in our community groups, we do this thing where we read the verses and then we keep reading them. And each time we read them, we're trying to figure out what Paul's actually trying to say a lot of times. So let's break this down into the little nuggets. So the first thing he goes, praying at all times in the spirit. Wait a minute, in the spirit? What is praying in the spirit? Straight off the bat, that's a one. That's a question. So what does that actually mean? And to be honest, it is actually a difficult question. But I think to help set the context a little bit, Jesus clearly talks about the fact that we can pray, that anyone can actually pray, and a lot of people do pray, whether they believe or not. Jesus talked about how the hypocrites pray. He says, don't be like the hypocrites who walk to the top of the temple, put their hands in the air, big, long, eloquent prayers. He also talks about don't be rambling prayers or with many words. And then he also gave that parable, similar story of that guy, I don't know if you're aware of it, in Luke, where he says there was one man went to the temple and had a big eloquent prayer. He said, basically, thank you that I'm not a sinner like all those other guys. I don't do this, that, and the other. And this other guy came in, sat at the back, and just hung his head and said, Father, forgive me, you know, a sinner or something like that. I can't remember the exact words, but... So Jesus clearly talked about how we can pray in different ways. So we could pray, just because you're praying doesn't mean it's all good. And that we need to be very conscious of the spirit that we're praying in. And are we praying with the Holy Spirit and praying with a soft heart toward God? And I think a lot of this, it doesn't answer the question completely, but I think a lot of this goes towards our attitude as we pray. And I know for certain, I can testify that there's times where I rant off a little prayer or I get through a little prayer. And then there's other times, and I hope you can identify, where you're praying and you're clearly aware that you're in harmony with the Holy Spirit and you're very much in sync with, it's almost as if the Holy Spirit's prompting you what to pray about. You're like, you know, you're praying for other people, you're praying for church members, you're praying for problems. And I think this goes a long way towards helping us understand what praying in the Spirit means. And, you know, some commentators talk about how it's, you know, maybe a reference to praying in tongues as well, which could well be the case. I think it goes toward that that spirit of praying the prayers that Christ or the Holy Spirit is putting on our hearts. So... Romans 8:26 actually says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I love that verse because sometimes I'm actually just praying and I'm like, I honestly almost don't know what to pray. I don't know what the words are, but Father, I just pray for that situation. And you're just kind of almost without word. But the Holy Spirit is working in it. And it sounds a little bit mysterious, and yes, it is. It is mysterious. Like, sometimes we don't understand these things. And actually, Paul references that a little bit further down. So that's the first bit. Then he goes on to say, he's prayed at all times and at every occasion. And this kind of echoes sort of 1 Thessalonians, where he talks about praying without ceasing. And, look, this photo was taken while I was on holidays a few weeks back, and I was sitting on a pier in a... This is pretty much, ladies and gentlemen, this is where I like to pray. If you can fly me out to Croatia every now and then, I love to be in nature and just sitting there and just looking at God's creation and praying. That's where I find it the best. But there's no set place where to pray. So, you know, we can be praying at all times without ceasing. you can be praying on the way to work. You can be praying at work. You can even be praying, and I often do this, while you might be talking to someone, and you're maybe a boss or a sort of a friend or a colleague or something, and you're just saying a simple prayer, Father, give me the right words to say here. And I think what Paul's trying to say is just trying to involve prayer as part of your daily life, that it's part of you. You have this ongoing sort of involvement of God with your life. And I think it's that's the thing to remember out of this, is that prayer shouldn't be just segregated. And even things like that, the tradition is we bow our heads and close our eyes. We don't need to bow our heads. We don't need to close our eyes. We can be walking, talking. We can be operating. Now, there is a time and a place for, as Jesus used to get away to a quiet place. He talks about in the same verse I've mentioned earlier about closing the door and getting out of distractions. So I'll talk about that in a second as well. But there is that sense and that instruction about praying without ceasing. So again, just to remind you, you mightn't understand everything about prayer, but Christ is clearly saying, pray. And I absolutely love that song that we just sang before we ended there, which is Precious Jesus, Trust in Jesus. You know, basically saying, sometimes, Father, I just don't understand how you operate. I've got a kind of better way I think it should be done. But sometimes we just have to just trust and listen to his instructions. So if we move on, stay alert, he goes on, stay alert. Now, there's a classic one. When I was younger, I used to go to a lot of these camps and different things, and I used to just do all-nighters and stay up and all this kind of stuff. And there was probably a few times where I was being in the last church service on the Sunday, and the pastor is speaking, and I'll be able to see now if anyone's actually fallen asleep now, but... And I'm struggling. I'm like that scene in Mr. Bean where I'm like trying to keep the eyes open and I am wavering. And then he comes to that, the best part when you're in that situation. He goes, let us pray. And I go, yeah. The eyelids flutter down and I can just fall asleep. But no, that only happened a few times. Now, the reality is, though, we laugh, but it's actually quite amazing. Staying alert is actually there's almost a kind of a comical, tragical description in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus' most poignant time in his life, he's praying before the cross, and his apostles keep falling asleep. And there is, you know, perhaps there is a spiritual aspect to this that, you know, how many times have I gone to bed and I'm saying, you know what, I'll leave my prayers, I'll pray to you, Father, just when I'm in bed, and I'm just in bed, and then I'm like, dear Lord, and you're gone. Like, staying alert is actually so important. If what the Bible says and what Christ says, that praying actually has a point, and that if God already knows what's on our heart anyway, yet he still wants us to pray it, actually praying it out seems to matter. And staying alert is a vital part of that. And it's not just staying alert as in not falling asleep, which is a really a danger. But think about our modern age. This is definitely the case for me. How many distractions do we have? How many times do we say, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then, but I just need to finish this thing. Or, I'll pray for you, but I just want to watch my show. You know what? We have loads of distractions, and staying alert is very hard these days. And, you know, it's not just a case of staying alert just for our own needs. But let's be alert to what's happening in the world as well. Let's be alert to what's happening in the Middle East. Let's be alert to what's happening in our own country. Let's be alert to the fact that there's a spiritual world and there's a spiritual war going on. Let's not be soldiers who are like this dude when there's actually a spiritual war happening. Think about that for a second. So Paul says, be alert. And then he also says, be persistent in your prayers. And this goes back again to those questions that a lot of us might have. Wait a minute. How long do we keep praying for something? Do we say it once? Do we keep going? Do we be like Daniel and pray three times a day? You know, what about those really difficult circumstances where you have people with long-term illness and you have situations where, you know, perhaps it seems like God isn't answering your prayer? Very difficult questions, and very difficult, let's be honest, because it's a difficult situation. But what we can cling to, when you've got these difficult situations, what I always say is, look at what we can cling to, and look at what Scripture does say. And Jesus himself talked about being persistent in our prayers. If you look at, for example, his story about, I should really read it out, but we don't have the time. I'll just paraphrase it. Do you know the one about the, it was a widow, and he said this is a parable of a widow to constantly asked against the emperor or something like that. And he finally said, okay, now that you keep asking, I will give it to you. And then Jesus also talked, he gave other analogies about this, and he talked about being persistent. And look at Scripture itself. Look, scattered all across it, we have situations where Daniel prayed three times a day. We have situations where that lady who Jesus healed, she was 12 years sick, it says. And then there was other situations where, if you think about the blind men that, and the lame people that were healed, they were basically like that most of their lives in a lot of cases. I'm sure they might have been praying, going, God, please, why? And it's a very difficult one. But Jesus says, and there's, now again, you could probably delve into this and do a whole sermon on this, but let's cling to the truth that Jesus said, be persistent. He also said, with God, all things are possible. Even when we think it's impossible, let's keep praying. But I think also balancing that, what I will say is just being conscious of, and I'll touch on it again in a second, is being conscious of the fact of praying in the Spirit. What is Christ or what is the Holy Spirit impressing on you to pray? You could be tempted to say, would Paul be like, I'm going to be persistent in my prayers to get me out of prison? But he doesn't actually ask for that in this particular letter. And I'll touch on that in a second. But be persistent in your prayers. If you really have a prayer for something, do not give up on it. Keep up the intensity. That's all I can say. Scripture encourages you to do it. So then he goes on to talk about all believers everywhere. And this kind of goes back to that classic analogy about the J-O-Y nursery rhyme that we often hear about, where, you know, Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. I think it's really important that we, in our prayers, we're conscious of praying for not just us and our needs, but others as well. So, and then he comes on to him. He's like, and pray for me too, guys. Pray for me. And when you're reading this, you're like, yeah, obviously, man, you're in prison. You're in Rome. You're on your way to being executed. He's in a really difficult situation here. But guess what? If you look at the verse, he's like, and pray for me too. What's Paul's major prayer request as he's sitting in prison, chained up? Paul's major prayer request is that he would be an ambassador for God, that he would have the right words to speak. Incredible. Where are our priorities in our prayers? What are we praying for? My brother's trying to ring me. Our priorities in prayer are so important. And as a side note, there's a whole other stuff you could look at, how he asks for the right words to explain the gospel. But just to touch on quickly, he also talks about this mysterious plan. Let's look at the actual words. Boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So this, again, I said it earlier. The gospel is mysterious, and sometimes the way God operates is a little bit mysterious. So Paul freely admits it, and we don't need to be shy about that fact. The gospel puts so much sense on things, but at times it does seem a bit mysterious, and certainly for the Jews at the time, it didn't make any sense initially. It was a complete mystery. Okay, so he says, and so it's about getting our priorities right in our prayers. What are our priorities? Are we praying for or what we want and all the nice things we have? Or are we remembering that we're in this spiritual war and primarily we're here to fight this? Now, again, just to talk about the spiritual war is a weird one. You know, we talked about earlier how, you know, why doesn't God just come and just sort of win the war for us? But the reality is, for some reason, he has us in the war. He wants us to fight it, and he wants us to fight it with his power. and he wants to use us through it. I'm always struck by that section in Scripture where Christ appears in a vision to Paul while he's in prison. I can't remember exactly where it is. And he says, I want you to keep doing what you're doing, Paul, because I want to bring you to, I think it was Rome, and to testify about my name there. And we read that and we kind of go, oh, that's fine, yeah. But then when you actually think about it, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Christ, you're appearing to me to send me to somewhere else. Well, how come you didn't just go over there and appear to them straight off? Isn't that interesting? God, in his holy ways that he chooses to operate, he wants to use us, and he wants to use us to through prayer. So, next thing is, he talks about, I am an ambassador here in chains. And what's the exact verse again? For which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought. What struck me about this was Paul's in prison, and yet he still feels that he's exactly where he should be, and he feels that he is still an ambassador for God. He's still useful in prison. You know, how many times do we kind of think, "Oh dear, you know, I will be an amazing ambassador for God at the weekend when I've got time. I'm mad busy at the moment. I've been insanely busy at work the last few weeks, and I've barely had a moment." And there is that temptation to go, you know what, as soon as I get finished with this project, or as soon as I get done with this, or as soon as I get a job in ministry, or as soon as I get that perfect job, or as soon as I get married, or as soon as I, you know, as soon as I have all my finances sorted, I am going to just be a really good ambassador. I'm going to spend time. I'm going to really, you know, I'm going to get my act together. Paul is in prison, chained up, and he's like, pray for me, an ambassador for Christ. He is right there. I think he's very much aware that that's where Christ has him, right there and then. So maybe in our prayers, let us remember that, where are you? Perhaps God wants you exactly there, and perhaps you are perfectly positioned to be the ambassador that he wants you to be at that stage. So let's not be praying so much, God, please sort this, change the other. Perhaps our prayers, it's an encouragement. Maybe our prayers could be a little bit more, change me, Father. Help me to use, you know, maybe Paul only had access to a few people at that particular time. His prison guards or something like that. He didn't have a big audience. He was getting his letters out and different things. But maybe God only has you maybe you're in a crap job, like this poor bozo. He's got a really bad job. He's in a basement somewhere, and he's just got a deadline. And he's just like, oh, man. And he's like, if only I can get my better job. But actually, God will use you wherever you're at. So let's move on to our last bit now. And he wraps up by saying that I will keep on speaking boldly for him, which I loved. This is a very little interesting nugget again. And see the way you can just go through these verses so slowly and just pick out the little richness in all of them. He ends by saying that I may declare it boldly as I ought. Pray for me that I might have boldness. I'm like, wait a minute, this is Paul, the guy who actually had a vision, a live encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, a guy that lived 30 years, he's writing this letter, 30 years after Christ had walked on the earth. He had seen incredible miracles. God had helped him in so many different ways. And yet he's asking for boldness. So if he's asking for it, how much more do we need to ask for that? And there's kind of two points here. One, I love how Paul actually admits that he's not a superhero. He's not this, sometimes we elevate Paul as this incredible character. Paul was a flawed guy just like us. He wasn't a Superman. He probably feared. He probably had a lot of fears and doubts and worries. And he's freely admitting, guys, I need prayer for this. And I also love this. And this is the second reason I love this is because Paul's being vulnerable. Paul's writing this letter, and to a lot of people that look up to him, he could be tempted. Maybe I'm reading this into this too much, but maybe he could be tempted to say, you know, pray that I would just continue to be amazing here, or you know, something of that ilk. But he's like, pray for me that I might have boldness. He's like, oh, to be honest, I really struggle with boldness, and I need it. So let's be vulnerable with our prayers as well. That's my final point. Let's be open with each other, whether it's your community group, whether it's praying after church here with the prayer guys, whether it's praying with your friends, men's ministry, women's ministry, wherever it is. Pray with, ask, be vulnerable with each other. pray for each other and be honest about your needs and requests. So let's see how we're doing for time. Oh, we're not too bad. So just to summarize those little things is, you know, pray in the Spirit. Have the right heart about prayer. Pray at all times. Let it be a part of our lives. Let prayer be integral to our daily lives. Be alert in our prayers. Don't fall asleep or get distracted. Be specific, and we need to be physically taking steps. Persevere. Don't give up. Remember God's promises. And pray for each other. Don't focus so much on praying for yourself. Remember, this is a spiritual war, and we're effectively, as brothers and sisters, we're fellow soldiers. Have that sense of urgency and selflessness of praying for each other. And just on that point, a quick one, I read this really cool thing last week about how this in the, just around, I might have the facts on this slightly wrong, but around the Spanish Civil War, there was a big problem just before the war, which is in the 30s, I believe, where they had massive problems with narcotic usage and people had all these issues and society was a little bit messed up at the time. And there was all these kind of rehab places and various places, and they were full to the brim with people with all these kind of problems, you know, substance abuse and all this kind of stuff. And then the Civil War broke out, and guess what? All of those places emptied. They became completely pointless. And the message is, or the analogy here is, that when we pray for other needs, bigger needs, our own little needs sometimes fall into insignificance. When we start to really think about the people in our church that need prayer, when we start to really think about the places in the world where you can't meet like this on Sunday, where we think about the people that are suffering, and when we pray, when we really think about the lost in our community and how effectively they don't know the true hope that we have, it really puts our little things into perspective. So just a little side note on that one. So pray for all believers. We also talked about getting our priorities right in our prayer and admitting that sometimes prayer is mysterious, or that the gospel is a mysterious plan. We talked about praying that you wouldn't so much change your situation, that you can be used wherever you are, whether it's that basement job or whether you're in prison, like Paul. And we prayed for, or we also spoke about vulnerabilities in our prayer and praying for our real needs and asking for them. So that's effectively it. However, there's another thing that we need to take into account before we wrap up, is that we can't help but look at the fact that prayer now is not to this mysterious creator that effectively is personality-less and out there. It's not this mystic force. Our prayer is to our God, who Jesus now says we can approach as a father. And Jesus said, they said, how should we pray, Father? Or how should we pray, Christ? And he said, pray our Father. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, Abba, Father. He said, Dad. And effectively, I think really because of what Christ has done, because of Christ's reconciliation between us and God, no matter how we're fixed, no matter how we're positioned, no matter how we feel that moment, come to your Father. He loves you. And the Hebrews talks about Christ liveth, that he interceded for us. And it talks about this effectively Christ in heaven saying, Father God, look what I've done. It's done. I've interceded. This guy Phil that's approaching the throne, you know, he can approach, you know, his shame is gone. So think about that now as we close. We're going to we're going to have some more time of worship now. And we're just going to think about the fact that we can approach God as our Abba Father. And no matter how you're feeling this morning, please come. Please accept the fact that prayer is vital, essential, and actually a really beautiful communion and communication with your Father. You have direct access to the Creator of the universe. It's mind-blowing, but it's balanced by the fact that he's our Abba Father, he's Dad. Come and just say, and You know, if you look at the prayers of great example in the Bible, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is the thief on the cross that turns to him and says, "Forgive me, a sinner," or "Remember me, sorry, in paradise," was what he said. Simple prayer. That's all it has to be. Don't make your prayers complicated. Don't worry about it. Just come in that right spirit. So I'm just going to wrap up in prayer, and then we're going to sing some songs. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you for what you've done. We thank you to see Mike there in Israel, probably really close to where you actually raised yourself. And Lord, we thank you that you're alive. Lord, I thank you for this this thing that we do all the time, but that I'm doing right now, but it's prayer and just speaking, and that you hear. How incredible. How incredible that we have direct access to you, our Creator, our Savior, our Friend. Lord, we bring our requests to you, Lord, and my request is right now that, Lord, that we would just be able to have sweet communion with you, Lord. Help us to just rest our hearts on you, Lord. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone here, Lord, that's struggling or worrying or sort of having a tough time, Lord, that they would just come to you as their Abba, as you would be their Abba Father, Lord, that they would approach you as Dad. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this church. We thank you for how you've saved us, and bless your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you want to connect with Calvary Cork, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Or visit us at calvarycork.org. We meet Sunday mornings at 11:15, 3 Penrose Quay, Cork City.